Amen. You can grab a seat, church. Oh, he is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you so much. Guys, it's a big week. Hope you get excited for this week. If you can't get up for Easter week, I don't know what's wrong with you. But I tell you this, Jesus is alive, and I plan on acting like it this week. Can someone say amen? We are in a series right now called Keys. Anybody enjoying this series? Anybody? If you were here last week, tell the truth. Shame the devil. If you weren't here, you missed out on what that was. That was fantastic. That wasn't even in my notes. Sometimes the good stuff's not in the notes, folks. That's what God does. But God's doing something with our church through this series. I couldn't help, I don't know if you watch the news. I try not to watch the news. I read the news. I find it's better for my mental health if I read, not watch the news. And I don't know if you saw this recently in the last couple weeks. Maybe you have. I was reading that car thefts are up 230% in our country over last year. That's a lot. And 230%. And I was like, I've never had my car stolen. Some of you are like, I've had my car stolen. I've never had my car stolen. Most of my cars weren't worth stealing. That's probably a reason for that. But car thefts are up. In fact, Halifax is a big port where stolen cars come in and they ship them out from our port. And Montreal is another big port. And they're talking about this. It's a political hot topic. It's in the news. And it's interesting. In Toronto, house break-ins are up in these last few months. And they've tied it together. What people are doing is people are breaking into houses to just get the car keys for the cars in the driveway. So this news story showed people in Toronto, in their driveway, they have those boots. Have you seen those parking boots? They put the boots on their tires so you can't steal the car. They put the lock on the steering wheel. And then they are like backing vehicles behind the other vehicle. They're putting stuff so you cannot steal their car. Pray for our country, people, church. Pray for our country. It was fascinating that the news was reporting that the police department in Toronto was recommending to people, hey, leave your doors unlocked to your houses. Because they're going to break in to steal your car keys to save you from breaking your doors and your windows. Just leave your front door unlocked so they can get your car keys to get out to your car. What? We need to pray, church. Like, I love Jesus, but you need to know I also have a bat next to my bed. And I love people, but God's still working on me. And there's parts of my heart that I will take your legs out, and then I will pray for you. Just anybody else in that boat? Come on, somebody. Don't touch my car. Don't touch my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, like, I love you, I pray for you, and I will pray for you and an ambulance, come on. And but it's interesting, what they know is, if you get the keys, we know this, is you get access. Keys are access. We're in this series right now talking about key scriptures in that we believe are a part of our faith. All scripture is inspired by God and helpful, does not return empty or powerless, it's powerful. But there are key scriptures that we're putting to memory that we believe are keys to our access, keys to our faith. And we'll memorize TikTok songs, we'll memorize music, we'll memorize things for tests and exams. And I believe that there is an exam every day on our faith. You've been tested in your faith this week? I have. You've been tested in what God's called you to do? I have, and so have you. There are keys in God's scripture, and we're in a series trying to highlight some of these keys that we believe are important to you. So many people don't have a prayer life is because they only know weak prayers. And we talked about even last week the power of praying God's word. Praying God's word back to him. It cannot return void. Even last night, we had one of our team members rush to emergency with AFib with a heart rate of over 220. The family called and we said, let's pray. And they said, we need to pray. So we prayed on the phone. It's interesting, as I started praying, I started going through, well, I wanted to tell God how good this person is. Like, they're really faithful, God, and they're such a nice man. And I thought, no. I don't need to pray opinion. I don't need to pray my feelings. I need to pray the keys of Scripture. And our Scripture last week was 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind or self-discipline. I started to pray. Me and Nancy agreed together with the wife of the team member, and we started to pray. We said, God, you've not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power. And we pray for power right now. And we pray right now for your heart right now over this gentleman to go back into normal rhythm. We pray your body would be strong. We pray you'd line up with the Spirit of God. We prayed in faith. And I tell you, there's power in these keys of Scripture. And I felt power in that moment. Hung up the phone. I was getting in the car to go pick up Maddie from a friend's. And all of a sudden, the wife called me back. I'm in the driveway. She goes, I need to call you right back. he just called me from the hospital. They're rushing him in to put the paddles on him. And the second he called me, he said, my heart just went back into perfect rhythm. She said, what? He goes, 30 seconds ago, it went back into perfect rhythm. She said, I just hung up with Pastor Mike and Nancy 30 seconds ago. My God, you were so good. Some of us have weak prayer lives because we don't know Scripture. I'm telling you, you don't need to pray your opinion. You don't need to pray your emotions. Some of you are under it. You let the weather dictate your mood, you dictate your faith. I want to encourage you. There are keys in Scripture we stand on, not our behavior, not our performance, not how good we are, not how much we give in an offering plate. We stand on the Word of God. We stand on faith. Today, we want to go through some of these Scriptures. And today, I want to encourage you. We're going to start reading. Our key today is Philippians 4, 6 to 8. As a church, we're committed more than ever. I'm committed as a preacher to just preach the word and let the gospel do the work. And I believe in programs, and we have them all, and I love it. And we have programs, we're building new programs, and we got stuff going on, and we got stuff for kids and teenagers, and we have everything. I'll encourage you, but I'm committed more than ever. We don't need another program. We don't need a certain atmosphere. We don't need better social media. We need to let the gospel do the work. And if you preach the gospel, it changes lives. Can someone say amen? And church, I don't have time to tell you the stories happening in this church right now, where we're just preaching the gospel, people are believing the gospel, reading the gospel, accepting the gospel, and the change that's happening in people's lives. The gospel does the work, and it is. Change is possible. Jesus is good, amen? Our key this week is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. It's interesting, Amazon, who owns Kindle, I believe, this is the most popular verse underlined in Kindle Bibles on the planet. When they search what's the most popular verse that people underline on their digital Bibles, I would think it would be John 3:16. I thought it would be maybe that I know the plans I have for you. This is the most underlined verse in the world. And what Amazon knows, you need to know today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Can I read it today? This is our key for this week that we're going to stand on. It says, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, that's you, that's me. One final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Today we're talking about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Lord, thank you for today. Jesus, thank you for your help. Thank you that you are Lord of all. We love you today. Would you just illuminate your Scriptures today? Would this go beyond a talk? Would this come into our hearts? Would it be a foundation and a key that we hang on to? God, would you do what only you can do? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Church, I'm going to be quick today. I'm not going to be long. But I want to just encourage you, remind you of something you already know, that there's a war raging over our lives. The Bible calls it a fight of faith, not a spa of faith, not a vacation of faith. It's a fight of faith. There's a war raging over your lives. And some of you have given your life to Jesus and all hell broke out. There's a reason for that. There's a battle. There's a war over our lives. And I'm learning that there's a war in our lives, but there's a battle, and the battle takes place in our minds. Anybody realize that yet? Anybody realize that your brain, your thoughts are a battlefield to have the right thoughts, battlefield to focus on God, battlefield to love the right way, battlefield to focus on the right things, to think the right things. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. I've realized that what I think is what I do. That's not really deep, folks. I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not even sure if that's a real thing. I'm not sure. I look at smarter people than me. Is that a neuroscience? All I know is this. If I think it, I do it. But there's a battle over our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it this way. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Against the knowledge of God, which tells me we're in a war. There is a war against the knowledge of God. See, the enemy is not worried about you going to church. He's worried about you understanding that you can have a relationship with Jesus, and he freed you from your sin, and he has a calling on your life. If he can just get you to go to church and lull you to sleep with religion, he's fine. He doesn't worry about you going to church. He's worried about you becoming the church. It says here, it says, against the knowledge of God. That's the war. Watch this. And we take captive every thought. That's the battlefield. I've never had a harder time in this age of my life with focus. Am I the only one? I don't know. My wife blames the phones. I think it is the phones. I think it's media. But there's a battle in our minds. I've never seen so much mental health challenges in people. I've never seen such a problem with focuses. People are angry. My daughter said this the other day. She goes, everybody's angry all the time. At her school, there were two fights on Friday, and one of our team actually works there and stepped in to break up this fight. And she goes, people are angry all the time. I'm like, I know. I've never seen people so on edge. There's a battlefield. It's in our mind. It says this, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So goes the mind, so goes the life. It's interesting here. Paul says, stop worrying. Think about good things. That's a great encouragement. Stop worrying. Hey, stop worrying. Just think about good things. Easier said than done. Have you realized that? You ever going through something? People say, don't worry about it. Not helpful. A check with that statement helps. Child care with that statement helps. Fixing the front door that I locked because they broke in to steal my car, that helps. But saying don't worry, think about good things. Don't worry. I always hear that in a Bob Marley voice. Don't worry. Be happy. Does not help. It's interesting here. It's easier said than done. I've been very open over the years about my battle that I've had with anxiety. It started a year into launching this church. We launched in 2017 and into 18. As we went into the fall of 18, I had my first panic attack. I was at H&M trying on clothes, which some of you are like, yeah, that causes panic attacks in me too. And I never forget, I went into the dressing room and just laid down. I'm sure they're looking at the curtain going, I don't know what's happening in there, but I've been pretty open about my battle with anxiety over the years, and it was both terrifying. If you've dealt with anxiety, there's many different things we deal with, but if you've dealt with anxiety, it's terrifying because you don't know when it's going to happen. And it's both confusing because life was very good and God's been so good to us. At that time, at 2018-19, I mean, like, God was so good. The church was growing, marriage was good, health was good, kids were good. We've gone through some pretty significant trials and changes. And it was confusing to me because God's been so good, and it was terrifying to me because you never knew when it was going to happen. And thanks to Jesus over the past 3 years, I really believe I've won the war of it, though there's still occasionally some battles I fight with it. But you're no stranger in this room. I know there's some here who can relate, whether it's not anxiety, maybe it's just fear, maybe it's depression, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's something else, but your thoughts, anxiety, fear, depression, worry is consuming. Philippians 4 is a command. Paul doesn't say, here's a suggestion. He says, don't, which is don't worry. But it's more than a command. It's actually an instructional as well. And this scripture that we're going to put to memory this week, those that are following along and trying to do this, I'll encourage you. It'll help your faith. It's more than just a command. It's actually an instructional. And even these last few weeks, as I felt the battle starting to rage again, even for some of my peace, I started leaning into the scripture again, knowing it's not just a command. It's actually an instructional. It's instructions for my life and how to have peace. It's important that you need to know that some anxiety, some depression, some of these worry things are actually a chemical imbalance. And I'm so thankful for medicine. I'm so thankful for the help of medicine. Exercise helps as well. And some things are chemical and some things can be helped with medicine and exercise. I'm thankful for that. But much of our anxiety, much of our worry is a product of our thought lives and our daily thinking. Am I the only one here? You get on a train of thought, you wake up with racing thoughts. You go to bed with racing thoughts during the day. You have a thought. It causes worry in your life. It's something that we're dealing with so much for. It says in Hebrews is that faith is what we hope for. It says faith is the substance of things we hope for. This helps me when I realize this, that worry, all worry is just faith in the wrong source. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, worry is what we're hoping for. It's just in the wrong source. We believe it's going to happen. Worry is just faith in the wrong source. Mark Twain says it this way. He says, I'm an old man, and I've known many great troubles, and most of them have never happened. I don't know if you've been like that. Most things I worry about never happen. I heard a statistic yesterday that 85% of what we worry about never happens. 85% statistically. And of the last 15%, 13 to 14% of that is never actually as bad as we thought, and we actually handle it well. Really, 1 to 2% of what we worry about is actually a big deal. We have so much faith in the wrong source. The enemy attacked me with anxiety to remove my peace, take me off the field, to put me on the sideline for the calling on my life and the progress that was being made in my family, my life, in this church. And if you're dealing with this today, if you're dealing with worry in this room, anxiety, fear, depression, if you're dealing with this today, I want to remind you of two things. Number one, you're highly valuable. You're highly valuable. You only go after targets that are valuable. You need to know today, if you're dealing with worry, even right now you're like, okay, I can feel the shadow of it in my life. I'm dealing with it. You're highly valuable. There's a call in your life. And second thing you need to know today is that God has more peace than the devil has chaos. You got to get a view of God. Some of us have God so small. Listen, God has more peace than devil has chaos. God has more peace than the news has chaos. Come on, somebody. God has more peace than the House of Commons has chaos. God has more peace than the financial markets have chaos. God has more peace. Verse 6, Paul says, don't worry. And then he offers some directions. I'm going to give you 3 points real quick today. I encourage you to take notes. If you're dealing with this, write this down. Remind you, write it in your scripture. 3 points real quick when Paul says, don't worry. Here's the direction he gives. First thing he says is pray about everything. Big stuff, small stuff, everything. Pray about everything. He says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. It's interesting. These last 2 years, we started this prayer room at the church. And it's honestly one of my favorite moments of the week. And I'm not just saying that because it's not about attendance and we don't really hype it up. And we're not trying to get people there serving. It's really only a few of us there to serve and make it happen. But people come out. There's something pure happening in it. But we started this prayer room. We started it to help the church grow in prayer. But if I can be vulnerable today, we started to help the church, but in truth, it's actually helped me. I have seen God do something in my life with peace and prayer in these last 2 years when I started to realize I need to pray about everything. And the prayer room, we pray about everything. I mean everything. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Pray about everything. It says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And this is a real relationship we have here with Jesus. You need to know this. It's a real relationship of dialogue and checking in, just like you do with your friends, your romantic relationships with your kids, with your spouse, you check in. It's a real relationship with Jesus. It's dialogue. It's not just this 1 hour in the morning or 5 minutes before a meal. It's dialogue. It's checking in. It's an investment of time and heart. Some of my prayer times are, God, how are you? Some of you think that's ridiculous. It's a relationship. And then I'm like, God, how are we? And God, how am I? It's a dialogue. It's, we pray about everything. Prayer is an exchange. Prayer is an exchange. You give him your worry, he gives you peace. It's a great trade. It's not fair, but it's a wonderful trade. It's like trading in your car, trading in your 84 diesel Jetta, and you get a brand new car. It's not fair, but you say, God, here's my worry. He gives you peace. It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Prayer is not venting. Venting is letting you know, but not letting go. You see this on Facebook, don't you? People vent. I don't know why I still have a Facebook page. People just go on there. They don't want to let go of it. They just want to let you know about it. I want to vent about this driver that cut me off. I want to vent about this person setting off fireworks and my dog's upset. I want to vent about this person that did this. I want to vent about that. And sometimes we do this. I'll say this to Nancy. I just need to vent. I'm allowed one venting a week, I told her. I'm like, when I'm saying is, I don't want you to fix it. I don't want you to take it. I just want you to know about it. That's not prayer. Prayer is not venting to let him know, but you don't let go. Prayer is an exchange. It says, you give it to him. 1 Peter 5:7. Look at this. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Giving and lending are different. Lending, you can borrow it, but I want it back. Giving, it's now yours to keep. Lending and giving are different. I remember growing up, do kids still drive bikes anymore outside? Is that still a thing? I'm not being sarcastic. Do kids go outside? Okay, so when we grew up, we had bikes. That's how you knew where all your friends were. You drive around the neighborhood and see where all the bikes were on the lawn. That's who had the best Kool-Aid or popsicles, right? How many remember those days? Where are my old people in the room? Am I the only one? Put hockey cards on the back to make it sound like a motorbike. I am so old. I remember Easter time was my favorite time of year because that's when we got a new bike. Go to Canadian Tire and get a new bike. And I remember you get a new bike, and I remember your good friends would show up and like, hey, can I borrow your bike? And if they were your closest friend, you'd let them borrow it, but you always had one rule, but no skidding. Don't skid the tire. Brand new tires, I get those little things on the tires. Just you can borrow it, but no skidding. Am I the only one? If you had a buddy show up that you didn't like that much, you'd say, sorry, not allowed lending. I don't know if you guys said that. We would say, not allowed lending. You see that one kid coming up that you know is going to wreck your bike? He's like, hey, nice bike. Sorry, not allowed lending. I'd say it so quick, it sounds like I was speaking in tongues. Not allowed lending. Like, Lord, take it in Jesus' name. No skidding and not allowed lending. Can I encourage you? So many times in prayer, we don't give it to God. We lend it to God. We just say, you can borrow it. The Bible says, give your worries to God. Everything. Give your worry. Don't lend it. Pray about everything. Church, can I encourage you again today as you drive home today, as you go to bed tonight, as you wake up in the morning, give it all to God. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. The big stuff. The small stuff. Give it all. Number two, be thankful. Talking about getting peace today. Some of you are navigating peace. Some of you need to take notes in church. It's big enough to vent about. Maybe it's enough to write about. Right. Until you get fed up with being sick and tired, until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you won't do anything. If you want the same result you've always had, just keep doing the same things you've always done. And at some point, I got fed up enough going, I need to get a hold of this for myself. I don't need a phone call. I'm thankful for therapy. I've done it. But I don't need another Zoom call with a therapist. I need to get on my knees and say, God, I believe what your Bible says, that I don't need to worry about anything, but I can have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Number two is be thankful. Prayer with thankfulness kills anxiety. I know this to be true. Prayer with thankfulness kills anxiety. By thanking him for what he's already done, it reminds you that he's good and he can do it again. Gratitude increases faith. Look at Colossians 3:15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. The peace that comes from Christ, always be thankful. Peace is tied to thankfulness. Much of my prayer life is remembering out loud what God has done in my life. Can I be honest? Most of my prayer life is me talking out loud, remembering what God has already done. It says in Revelations 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The testimony is remembering what God has already done. I spend most of my prayer time when I'm trying to build my faith, when I'm trying to kill anxiety, when I'm just walking, I remember what you did. God, I remember what you did in 2015, 2016. I remember what you did for my kids. What you've done for my marriage and my health. I know what you've done for my finances. I'm thankful for this. And I start reminding it. God, I'm so thankful for these friends and this opportunity. I'm so thankful for this moment and this miracle and this time. I'm thankful for that person and what you've done there. I'm thankful that they're for us and not against us. I'm thankful that they're helping us. I'm thankful my son's doing well. My daughter's doing well. My marriage is good. God, I'm so thankful there's health in my body. And something starts to happen. Thankfulness kills anxiety. Paul says here, he says, be thankful. He says, thank him, for verse 6, for all that he has done. Peace is tied to thanksgiving. Can I encourage you? Sometimes if you can barely open your mouth, just start thanking God. It starts to build faith, what God's already done. We used to sing this song in the 80s. I don't know if you remember this song, Count Your Blessings. Remember that song? Oh, I wish I could sing. I would lead us right now. I would just dismiss the whole worship team and I'd take over today. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Remember that song? Some of you have been in church for a while. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I grew up, don't clap for that. Online is just texting me right now going, our viewership just dropped by 40%. We used to sing all the time, count your blessings. Why? Because the psalmist knew what the scripture knows is that thankfulness kills anxiety. And when I start to thank God for what he's done, it starts building faith for what he's going to do. Some of you need to start your days with thankfulness. It's more than a holiday. It's a lifestyle. Be thankful. When my anxiety was worse in 2019, I started telling God, thanking him and declaring everything he had done for my life in the years prior. Oh God, what you've done in our bodies, what you've done in our jobs, what you've done with our friends, what you've done with our family. Peace is tied to thankfulness. John Wesley has a quote. It says this, thanksgiving is the surest evidence of a soul free from anxiety. Are you thankful today? Number three. First one was pray about everything. Number two is be thankful. Third thing is intentional thinking. Have better thoughts. The mind is a battlefield. They say love is a battlefield. No, the mind is a battlefield. There's a war in our lives, and the battlefield is our minds. Verse 8 says this. It says, think about these things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Church, we need to take inventory of our thoughts that go through our head in the day. And do they fit that criteria? Or are they angry, lustful, jealous, wounded, conspiracy-focused, negative? You cannot have a brain focused on those things and have peace. He says, pray about everything. Don't worry. Pray about everything. It matters. Secondly, be thankful. But then he says, listen, before I end this instructional, be intentional with your thoughts. Have better thoughts. That's why we need to get the Word of God into us. If the only thing you have is what comes across your phone, there's a wonder why we're overwhelmed and underachieving. It's not that these thoughts won't come to your mind. But Paul says, fix your thoughts. Meditate, anchor, focus on. Have better thoughts. I said it last week. Feelings are real, but they're not true. And so many thoughts are real. You're really feeling that. You're really going through that, but it's not true. I got to get better thoughts. And as I start to get better thoughts, it's amazing what happens. As I pray about everything, I'm thankful. I change what I'm focusing on. Something starts to happen. Years ago, I talked to this race car driver that I know. I was talking to him. I said, man, is it scary going into corner four? When that wall is known for, like, that's the wipeout corner. Is it scary when you're coming around that corner at that speed and you see the wall? He goes, I don't see the wall. I said, what do you mean you don't see the wall? There's marks all over the wall, all these drivers at wrecked. He goes, I don't see the wall. He said, I look at the corner I'm driving into because I've learned this. What I look at is what I aim at. So many of us, we wonder why we're obsessed with all these things that are lustful or conspiracy or negative or hard. And we wonder why our body represents and starts to reflect what we're thinking about. The Bible says, as we think, so are we. And Paul knew this. In this time, if they had anxiety in this time, how much more in this season? It says, pray about everything. It matters. Be thankful. And get some better thoughts. I'm reminding myself going, oh, no. What's pure? What's honorable? No, I can't watch that show. That's not pure. It might be fine for you, but it's not fine for me. It triggers that thought of my, what's honorable? I don't want to talk about that person behind their back. I don't need to talk that way about government, whether I voted for them or not. No, it's not honorable. I want to talk about what's right. I want to talk about what's wrong. I want to talk about what's lovely, not what's horrible. I want to talk about what's excellent and worthy of praise. If you're around me, I'm trying to celebrate wins as much as possible. I was talking to someone this week, and they said, you know another thing? I'm picking on the Latinos again. He goes, you know the thing I love about the Latinos? They celebrate so well. Latinos, you celebrate so well. See? Why? Because it's worthy of praise. Say, let's celebrate some things today. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's why this week, Holy Week, fix your thoughts. Read through the story in Matthew 25. Start going through the Gospels and what Jesus did for you. Fix your thoughts, and he'll keep you in perfect peace. That's why these keys are essential, because the mind is a battlefield. And there's a war over your life, but God has promised us peace. Find out what God says and focus on it. Obsess on it. When I pray, I'm one of these prayer people that need to walk when they pray. If you ever come to the prayer room, I can't sit down. I pray and pace. I walk and talk. That's what I do. And you know what? Even this last week, I've been praying and walking and talking, praying and pacing this verse, our last week's key. It said this. It said, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I start praying that this week, focusing my thoughts, going, no, there's a battlefield. God, you're not giving me a spirit of fear. I felt chest pain starting to rise up again. Maybe some worry. Maybe something else going on. Going, you know what? No. He's not giving me a spirit of worry. He's not giving me a spirit of fear. He's giving me love, power, and self-discipline. I'm thankful, God, that I got power. I'm focusing myself. Listen, some of you need to get desperate with your faith. If all you have is Sunday morning, you ain't going to make it. You can change your church and go find another place. I'm telling you, it's not going to change. It will not make it. But when you start to lean in going, there's access, there's new levels, and there's new devils, and I need the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to unlock some things in my faith. I'm more than a conqueror. He's not giving me a spirit of fear, but I got power in my life. What kind of faith? Powerful faith. I got a sound mind. I got love. I don't need to be angry at these people. I don't need to be defensive. I have love that is straight, greater than my willpower, greater than culture. I can love all people. I got power to live holy and follow God. Oh, I have discipline today. God, you didn't give me a spirit of fear, anxiety, or worry, but you gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And Philippians tells me you gave me peace. You gave me peace. Don't worry, church, today. Don't worry. Some of you are in a battle of anxiety, depression, worry, fear. Don't worry today. Pray about everything. Be thankful and be intentional. Get better thoughts. Today, as we close, I didn't want this to just be a message today. This is not a TED talk. It's not a mic talk either. I'm not here to inspire you. I'm not here to just help you get a better verse for your bio on Instagram. I believe in the power of God. As I talk to people, and I am people, there's never been a stronger battle over minds. Well, Pastor, I thought you thought this about me. This spouse is thinking this about that spouse. I'm worried about this. I'm obsessed with this. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I'm fearful. I feel like I just can't make a move. I can't step out. I'm overwhelmed. I want to hear you today, the author say, don't worry. Don't worry. Verse 9 is a promise. It says, keep putting into practice all that you have learned. I just taught you. Pray about everything. Be thankful. Get better thoughts. It says, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Some of you in this room today, you're fighting a battle over your thoughts. You're fighting a battle. You have a battle right now and you're like, this is more than a message. If you knew, if you could get pull back the curtain of my life, you'd see that I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, fear, depression. I believe there's power in this room. And we're going to pray today. Going to put a demand on your faith today. If you said, Mike, I'm struggling. I need prayer for this today. I need the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding. I need peace. I believe there's a miracle waiting for you today. That's you. Anxiety, depression, fear, worry. Mentally, you feel like your thoughts are obsessed on something other than what God's plan is, and you feel overwhelmed. It's more than just one day. It's more than just one bill. It's a lifestyle. You're struggling day in and day out. You're overwhelmed in this season. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Yeah, stand to your feet if that's you. I want to pray for you today. Not everybody, but it's almost everybody. I remind you again that you're valuable. My God, you're brilliant people. Loved by God, called by God, assignment on your life, that heaven cheers and hell fears. And secondly, there's peace available. I want to remind you of this key in my life, Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That if he is king of your life, he ushers in peace, not anxiety. I want to pray, and then we're going to sing this song, but worthy of it all. Everybody else in the room, if you'd stand with us today, we're going to pray all together. Thank you for standing, church. Worry is not your portion. Worry is not your inheritance. Don't worry. Don't worry. He has more peace than the world has chaos. I'm going to believe today for a miracle in your life. I'm going to pray for righteousness, peace, and joy over your life. Not praying opinion. Yes, you're good. I don't need to read your resume on how faithful you are to God. I can pray the scripture of Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God, where he has dominion, is righteousness, which is right thinking, right living, peace, and joy. You walked in heavy, you can walk out holy today. You walked in under it, you can walk in full of joy today. You walked in anxious, you can walk in with peace today. Can we pray before we get ready to sing this song? If that's you today, you say, Mike, I need prayer today for that. Just lift your hands as a receiving today. Lord Jesus, I pray according to your word. I pray for these amazing people here today. God, we pray verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, that we will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I pray right now that God, we thank you for intellect, thank you for education, thank you for the thoughts that we have, but God, we pray right now your peace would go beyond anything we've experienced or can understand. I pray it go beyond past experience, beyond what we've even prayed in the past. I pray for the peace that you promised that goes beyond anything we can understand. I pray right now your peace would guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. I pray right now there'd be a guarding, that anxiety would not steal our calling, steal our relationships, steal our health, steal our sleep. I pray there'd be guards on the door of our hearts. It says your peace will guard our hearts and minds. I pray right now for hearts and minds, emotions and thoughts, values and plans right now to be guarded by the peace of God. And I pray right now for thoughts that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Father, I bless them with the very peace of God. I bless them with your peace right now. Overflow. Anxiety, go in Jesus' name. Depression, go in Jesus' name. Worry, go in Jesus' name. We welcome the very peace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we sing that he's worthy of it all?
You deserve the praise.
Church.
Worthy is your name.
Let's focus our mind on this.
Worthy is your name.
Lord, so worthy.
Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
His kingdom, which is full of righteousness, peace, and and joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Go in peace. Team, we'll see you tonight. Get your tickets for Easter. Next Steps is happening in 30 seconds. We love you. Have a peaceful week.